Breaking news today on Seculo, as we now know the FBI has seized attorney-client privilege documents in the raid at Mar-a-Lago. We'll talk about that, the implications, take your calls all today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. So we know now in boxes labeled A14, A26, A43, A13, A33, and ones labeled as a set of documents that they contained information covered by attorney-client privilege. Mm. This was President Trump's attorney-client privilege. So did they give those documents back immediately? No. Did they set up someone to be an in-between, a go-between between the FBI agents and you know who is actually doing the sources on looking at the classified information? No, they did not do that either. They are setting up what they're calling, quote, a filter team to look through the documents, but they will be burning it. So it is the FBI running its own document review over which documents they should even be reviewing and which they should be excluding. So you're going to trust this FBI to say, oh, you know, this was on Mueller, but, you know, we didn't have any right to these documents, but we'll put that right over here.
It's more than
in this section. And I think, again, what it shows you is by the FBI not trying to put any safety guards in place here, all these documents can end up in Washington, D.C. at any moment, all over the place.
Here's what's totally outrageous about all of this. And let's be clear on this. Number one, if the FBI engages in an unprecedented act, which they did when they made the decision to execute a search warrant on the former president of the United States' principal residence, unprecedented in U.S. history, then in the process of them gathering this information that they had, they come across what? They come across documents that are clearly attorney-client communications between the president and his lawyers. Those are privileged. They take them anyways. Now, what would normally happen then is, once notified, you would then ask for a special master. A special master works with the judge, not with the Justice Department, to review these documents so that they're not used by the Department of Justice to engage in activities that can be problematic, like reviewing attorney-client information. But no, the Department of Justice says, no, we will set up a filter team. Let me tell you what a filter team is. When we were doing the Mueller probe, and you remember this, Jordan. A filter team is the Department of Justice. It is the FBI reviewing, or the Department of Justice lawyers with the FBI, reviewing the documents, saying this is covered, this isn't, and then they send it to what's called a taint team. And a taint team said, well, maybe this document should go back. But does anybody believe for a minute that at that point these documents haven't been thoroughly reviewed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the agents that are involved in this case? Does anybody out there believe that this is a coincidence? Well, let me give you a couple other coincidences while we're talking. Coincidence during the Mueller probe when it was issues about Strzok, the FBI agent, special agent that was the counterintelligence expert, when they needed his phone because the inspector general was concerned about communications between him and FBI lawyer Lisa Page. Oh, it was scrubbed when it was turned in. We don't have access to it. They didn't preserve the evidence. You want me to go through the list of the FBI filing with the court a false email, changing the language of an email to get a FISA warrant on an American citizen? So all this just happens. It's just happenstance. And don't worry, Jordan, just trust the FBI. They'll handle it.
Yeah, that's right. No problems with the FBI. No issue to see here. Nothing to see here, folks. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-312. We want to continue to take your questions. There's no bad questions about this, too. And I think every time I've said this throughout, every time someone asks a question, you're helping somebody who's listening to this broadcast understand something can get very complicated very quick, especially the further we get into this. Yep. So 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We have a matching challenge right now. You can double the impact of our donation. That's at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And so I encourage you to go there today.
Also, if you're watching on any of our social media applications, we've got a special report coming up next during the break. You're not going to want to miss. Share this feed with your friends right now. You know how to do that, whether you're on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you might be viewing it, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
too secular. We're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We also, if you were watching Rumble and now you're watching Facebook, we're re-putting up that feed there. We had some audio issues there, but the other feeds of Facebook, YouTube, that's all working. Of course, talking to a lot of you on radio and Sirius XM. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with Jason in New York on line 3. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going today?
Great.
Yeah, I'd like to know how the American people can unite and get rid of the FBI.
So, I mean, the simple way to do these things, which is likely you're going to have some kind of iteration of this law enforcement agency, right? Yeah. So you have the CIA handling covert. You have then you need the FBI to handle federal law enforcement. But does it have to be called the FBI? Do you have to have the same leadership structure? No. You have to elect leaders, first in Congress, then ultimately the White House, who are bold enough to say we're scrapping this. We're going to restart this. We're going to start fresh. I think it would take some serious time, but I think like the IRS, we believe that these entities could be streamlined in a much more modern way for 2022 that would benefit people working there and benefit the American people by actually focusing it on keeping us safe and their law enforcement actions, which again, should focusing it on terrorism, yep. Focusing it on the cartels, instead of focusing it on American politicians.
But let's review here.
Which they've always had a problem with the FBI, but it is on full display right now.
Yeah, well, the FBI, FBI lawyers and FBI agents were able to get a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA court, to issue a FISA warrant against an American citizen based on information they submitted to the court that was fraudulent, where they changed an email. That was in the FBI. Then the FBI now goes down to President Trump's home, executes a warrant that they get from a magistrate who recused himself from a civil case involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That case he recused himself for. He gets out of that case, okay? Says, I'm not going to handle that case. That's not right. I'm conflicted. Gets out of that case, and then what does he do? He turns around, though, and signs a criminal search warrant. I mean, so just let's put all this in perspective and think about what we're really dealing with here. Now the FBI goes in, they find documents that are attorney-client material, and what do they do? What is it they decide to do with the attorney-client material? Send it to a taint team inside the FBI rather than a special master that works with the judge to handle the former president of the United States documents. That tells you why there is so much concern on this, Jordan. Is the FBI and Department of Justice not trying to at least be smart with the way they're handling this? But they're not. So they're creating their own sense of frustration and tension.
Yeah, exactly right. I think that, again, the amount of outrage at this agency, the questions about their legitimacy, they deserve all of it, folks. They deserve every bit of your outrage and every bit of your questions and every bit of your questioning their legitimacy. As I said, when you're dealing with these agencies now, you assume the worst. Assume the worst if the IRS sends you a letter. Assume the worst if you get contacted by the FBI, because the politics has seeped into every part from the agent level on down the top to their leadership. And I get that people are defensive about the line workers or the front line of the FBI, and I know that there's people who are doing good work there. I think they're few and far between now. I think they're the minority. And we used to be able to think that was the majority, that the majority was so untainted by politics. But we heard it from the letters from Jim Jordan. They said, all those people are gone. They've been purged out, forced out. It's like the mass departure we've seen in law enforcement at a local level, where they've just quit in these departments where it was impossible to be a police officer anymore. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. There are a couple lines open if you want to get on this. Also, share the broadcast with your friends and family
really
as we continue to kind of answer all these questions so that you understand more about where this process is. Let's go to Tim in California on line one. Hey, Tim.
Thank you for taking my call. Is it legal for the FBI to go in and take documents that are should not be taken because it's between the lawyer and President Trump?
Right. No, those documents they're the ones. The FBI saying, hey, we got when we went in for the search warrant, we got documents that are clearly attorney-client confidence, attorney-client communication. And this is what's so ridiculous here. Rather than going to a special master to determine what can be done with those, and the FBI's now already reviewed it. Now, they'll say it's the filter team or a taint team, but the FBI agents had to send it to the taint team when they thought, hey, this may be attorney-client. So you think maybe they looked at it to make the determination to send it to a taint team? But I've got to play this sound from Joe Scarborough with, of all people, Peter Strzok, the FBI agent that White had his had the text against Trump on his phone, and then when they went to get it, the inspector general wanted their phones. They were amazingly wiped clean under Bob Mueller's watch, I might add. Take a listen to this.
The FBI makes mistakes. The church makes mistakes. People make mistakes. They screw up. Should this be any reason for Americans not trust that what the FBI and the DOJ are doing now is in pursuit of protecting classified documents?
Well, Joe, absolutely the American public should trust what the FBI is doing.
This is coming from Peter Strzok. I mean, think about this for a moment. Who Bob Mueller had to get off his team. This is the FBI that had a lawyer submit a false document to a FISA court to get a FISA warrant. And that's who MSNBC, by the way, has as their expert. I mean, you want to think you're living in a parallel universe here, and there's something else going on that we're missing. Here's what we're not missing. They are not, first of all, I think the whole search warrant was ridiculous in the nature of what I know. Now, I don't know everything, so, you know, I mean, I know what I'm reading. But just my experience in dealing with the Department of Justice for, say, intensely for the last, you know, during a four-year period when I was representing the former president. Here's what I don't understand. Why would they not want to hold themselves above reproach so they don't get caught again with their hands in the cookie jar? But instead, Jordan, they do the exact opposite. That's what's so frustrating here.
Yes. I mean, this is, again, this is a bad actors at the FBI going on TV to defend bad actors at the FBI. It shows you a lot if that's who they can find. The only people they can find are Andrew McCabe, who's still trying to fight in court to get his pension back because he got fired for what? Leaking classified information to reporters.
Oh, by the way, James Comey, too.
Oh, James, at least he disappears, though, for the most part. He's not trying to be a full-on commentator. And then Peter Strzok, who had to be fired from the special counsel's team. This is the guy who's got the insurance plan. Is this the insurance plan, or is this a continuation?
We won't let it happen.
Yeah, I mean, so, again, these are the only people they can find to go on TV to defend the FBI's actions.
Yeah, because these are indefensible. These are not defensible positions. Jordan, I mean, you did this case with me. We know what we're dealing with here. The problem is, it's like the IRS. They are becoming institutionally incapable. Why would they not say, you know what, we'll agree to a special master? This is, after all, the former president of the United States. But instead, they take the opposite view. No, we're not going to do it. And Merrick Garland says, none of this happened without his watch. Well, that's impressive.
Yeah,
take another call.
I think what you've got is just a bunch of political actors who play law enforcement, but they're political actors. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Stacy in Texas on line four. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My understanding was President Trump was cooperating with them on the investigation, so why would they do a raid like that? And then also, what's going to protect the person, the conservative person out here in the world against this government? It's ridiculous.
We are, the ACLJ, because we're the ones that sued the IRS when they overstepped their bounds. And we've got already, I mean, I don't even know how many cases we have against the Biden administration and our government oversight project at the ACLJ, probably a dozen. You asked the question, were they in discussions? Apparently, from what we've read, they were in discussions. Something must have transpired that happened. But also realize this. When you get within 90 days of a general election or a midterm election like we're about to, generally, the FBI does not engage in doing anything that would be adversely impact the election. Of course, James Comey made comments that were negative towards Hillary Clinton for a week and a half before the general election for president. Now, some Democrats blame James Comey for her losing. But the fact of the matter is that, by the way, whatever side you're on, Republican or Democrat, that wasn't right what he did. That violated their own internal policies. But they're not following policies. They're not following the manual. They're making this up as they go. And the problem is when they make it up as they go, it's very dangerous. That's what's happening.
Yep. All right. 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to take your phone calls as we come back in the next segment of the broadcast.
Share with your friends.
Yeah. Share this with your friends and family. And again, folks, I want you to understand we need your support of the ACLJ. That's at ACLJ. org, where you can double the impact of your donation. We have a matching challenge this month. That means a group of donors are ready to match your donation when it comes through until the end of the month. So again, if you donate $25, they will match that $25, but that's all you're charged on your card. So a $25 donation is like $50 for us at the ACLJ. It's a great time to support our work. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. On our website, too, there's a new piece up by Mike Pompeo on the Mar-a-Lago raid. So check it out. You got former Trump cabinet officials weighing in on these issues right at ACLJ.org. So a lot to share with your friends and family there. And a great way to be able to support our work. In just a couple minutes, you can make that online donation, double the impact of that donation by supporting our work online at aclj.org. We come back. More your questions, more your calls. All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls, too. If you got questions, comments on this, 1-800-684-3110. So you know about the raid, of course, in Mar-a-Lago. What we now know is that there are attorney-client privilege documents. That would be documents that Donald Trump has the privilege for on that were taken. And the FBI has been open about this. In fact, they've actually said, here they are. It's in boxes A14, A26, A43, A13, A33, so that's five boxes of attorney-client privilege documentation, plus another set of documents, that's on the final page of the FBI's property receipt, that contained information covered by attorney-client privilege. Did the FBI give these back? No. Did the FBI say, okay, we're going to put someone in between, we're going to appoint someone, like a court-appointed person who will sift through this before it gets to our agents?
Called a special master when they do that.
No, they did not. They are internally deciding what they should and shouldn't have access to. These are people we said you can't trust. Now, I don't know if there's a legal action that can be filed immediately.
Well, you could file a motion for a special master. So the lawyers for the president could go into court immediately. I'm surprised they haven't. And demand a special master be appointed. Because here's the problem with these filter teams, Jordan, as you said, and the taint team. So this is not guessing whether there's attorney-client information. The FBI said there's attorney-client communications in here. We don't know what the nature of those are. So what the FBI saying is, well, we're going to internally review it with a separate group of FBI agents, and they will determine if they're attorney-client privilege, and then, or at least filter it out to see if they are, and then send it to a taint team, and the taint team will say, oh, do you think we can use this, or do you think we can't? Now, meanwhile, three sets of FBI agents' eyes have already been on these documents by the time that process goes forward. So let's take a poll at 1-800-684-3110. Does anybody trust that process? The answer is no, especially when you're dealing with the former president and his attorney-client communications. So what should happen? A judge should appoint a special master who acts as a judge, basically, to review the documents in camera, in chambers, and negotiate, you know, through argument that you actually get to make. There's no one arguing inside the Justice Department for the former president. Now, they would if you had a special master. It's a proceeding, Jordan, just like court.
Yeah, but the problem
they don't have that.
Is this,
they don't want to have that.
These individuals got a search warrant on August 5th. They are saying in there that there was things that were so important to our national security they needed to do a raid. They didn't go into Mar-a-Lago on August 5th. In most situations, when it's a national security issue, they would go in the moment they got the warrant.
Yes.
With whatever problems they got to deal with when they show up. Now, they are dealing with a former president here, but, I mean, they didn't have to wait 3 days. That, in fact, that hurts their case. In fact, it wasn't just 3 days. It was 3 months. Because in June, they said, oh, yeah, maybe put the lock on this. Did they go get a warrant the next day?
By the way, that should have been a signal to the lawyers. Something was up when the subpoena came, and then they want the lock, and they want videotapes. I mean,
the whole idea that it's top secret, really important documents is undercut by the fact that the FBI has took no action on this starting in June.
But what is clear is there are this makes me wonder whether this has anything to do with these documents, Jordan, or is it something to do with January 6th? Is it something to do with Russia and Mueller? I mean, who knows? We're thinking communications between the president and his lawyers previously. Well, two of his lawyers are sitting here. So now we don't represent him in this currently. He's got lawyers in Florida. They need to be filing a motion for a special master here. So I don't understand this, and I don't understand the reluctancy of the Department of Justice to not take the... Here's what I don't understand. You know you're under intense scrutiny. Why would you not take every single precaution you can to avoid a problem? And they will not do it. We're taking your calls about this at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, back to the phone. So let's go to Robert, Indiana, on line 5. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Yes, sir.
I'm not the legal expert, but it seems like the FBI had stepped over their bounds. Are they aware of it? And is there anything?
Well, yeah, they're aware of it. I mean, they're the ones who notified the Trump lawyers that the documents included attorney-client communication. I got to be clear on that. That's not something that the Trump lawyers asserted. The FBI, Department of Justice, said, hey, by the way, when we grabbed those documents, it included communications, Mr. Former President, that you had with your lawyers. We're not saying here you can have them back. So, yeah, they knew it. I mean, and there'll be multiple eyes put on this, Robert. That is the problem. That's why a special master should be appointed. But this whole process, like you said, Jordan, the way they waited. I mean, there was rumors over the weekend. Remember, there was nuclear code material there.
Yeah.
So if that was the case, you think they would have waited 5 days or 3 days after they got the warrant to go in if it was that significant? Of course not. So we don't even know what they were looking for. But we do know what they found. We do know at least they found attorney. We don't know what attorney-client material they found, but they found some.
Right. I mean, so we know that it's in multiple boxes. They get 5 boxes and a separate set of documents. So you got 6 different indications of attorney-client privilege documents. The privilege would be held by President Trump, and the FBI is sniffing through this on their own. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to take your phone calls right now. Let's go to Warren in Idaho on line 6. Hey, Warren.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
My question would be, with everything that they're doing and they're getting away with it, and they know they are, how much does that embolden them to come after us, the regular citizens?
Well, listen, I'd say operate if you get contacted by these agencies now with a real caution. Get a lawyer. I mean, I would be very cautious in dealing with these agencies now. But if you're the former president who can get lawyers and has lawyers, they need to be taking some, I think, you know, some aggressive act, not aggressive, tactical moves here. And that tactical first move would be a special master being appointed. But I want to play what Senator Grassley had to say about all this and the FBI. Take a listen.
I think the credibility is hurt as a result of this warrant being issued 3 or 4 days before the raid actually took place. If there was a nuclear espionage sort of thing involved, you would think Friday they get the warrant, Friday they immediately go to the president's home.
I mean, that is what we were saying, is that if it's truly national security, truly national security, then you're in there the moment you get the warrant. You got to deal with some different things here because you got Secret Service, so you contact them, you're there within an hour. But instead, they wait the weekend, which is such typical Washington, of course, when it comes to these FBI agents. It's such a national security matter that I got things scheduled. So we got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll come back to it on Monday.
But it may be the nuclear codes.
Right. So it's not. And if it is, it wasn't relevant because they didn't go in and get it. So not only did they wait from June to August, which they did, but then when they got their search warrant, they didn't use it immediately. And they're telling us that this is like documents that at any moment could put our national security at risk. So there's no explanation there, except for I'll explain it. It's a horrible agency full of horrible people who can't be trusted. That's why Joe Scarborough, a pretty horrible person himself, can't find anybody to talk about it but Peter Strzok, who's a horrible person. He's cheating on his wife. I had to get kicked off the Mueller team. Oh, with another person who got kicked off the Mueller team, by the way. And this is who they can find on MSNBC to even talk about this and stay. Should we trust the FBI? I mean, we know we can't trust you, Peter. Not you, your lover, Lisa. Can't trust either of you.
And your email and your phones are wiped clean.
Yeah, we can't trust you guys. But should we trust the agency as a whole? No, because it's a bunch of Peter Strzoks. That's the whole agency.
Including a lawyer who gave false documents to the FISA court.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of people that are running this right now. So no, the trust level should be at zero. And they should have taken extra precautions. They refused to. We got a lot more ahead. We're just taking a 1 minute break. We're going to be back with more. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Share this feed with your friends. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
By the way, you know, they get on Donald Trump for saying, you know, he calls for violence against political opponents. His political opponents right now, including the former CIA director Mike Hayden, are calling for Donald Trump to be put to the electric chair. I mean, they tweet this out. This is the day that Merrick Garland puts his makes a statement because he didn't take any questions. And he was obviously very nervous. And then he said, you know, our filings speak for themselves. Of course, if that was true, he wouldn't have to be making a statement and they wouldn't have to be constantly explaining their actions because their filings look ridiculous, absurd. But then it leaked 2 hours later, of course, because their filings speak for themselves. No leaks to that DOJ and FBI. Then it's somehow involved nuclear. So you get Mike Hayden, former CIA director, weighing in willy-nilly because someone wrote in, you know, the Rosenbergs were convicted of giving U.S. nuclear secrets to Moscow and got executed in June 1953. He writes, sounds about right, as a direct relation to President Trump. This is the craziness that is taking over. I said Trump derangement syndrome is a real syndrome. I think one day we might actually be able to say, you know, they say like these pop culture items and items like this can become real where people lose their mind. And then you realize even if they're political opponents of Donald Trump,
they're calling for him to be
executed. Not selling any of these documents. The people who got executed were executed for being the actual spies delivering documents to a foreign adversary. What we're talking about here is where should we store it? As Rick Riddell pointed out, remember, a lot of the Trump staff around him is paid for by the U.S. government. So he's got federal government employees suing federal government employees over how they're handling the documents because the GSA did it wrong, which is the Government Service Administration, who doesn't get a lot right anyways. That's another agency. Talking about bureaucracy on bureaucracy, it's like the ultimate. It's the bureaucracy for the bureaucracy. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Linda in Texas on line one. Hey, Linda.
Hi, thanks for having me on. And my question is, don't they have standards or laws or bylaws that they have to abide by? And if they have broken their own standards, shouldn't they be held accountable from them all the way up to the judge who issued the warrant?
So let's retrace it. So they have the Department of Justice has a manual, like the IRS, that's called a DOJ manual, that lays out what you should and should not do. Now, this is an extraordinary case. So let's start back with the FBI, in working with the Justice Department, felt that they had enough evidence, a probable cause that a crime had been committed, and then they listed espionage, obstruction of justice, so forth, Presidential Records Act, and evidently communications must have broken down or something, that a search warrant should be obtained and executed. They go to a magistrate judge, which is how these work. Now, what's really important to understand here is the magistrate judge they get recused himself just 6 weeks ago from a case involving Hillary Clinton. It was Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. He said, I've got to recuse myself. I'm not going to be viewed as impartial. But that same judge then signs a search warrant in a criminal case. So that's number one. Then the FBI goes in. This is number two here. So the FBI goes in. The FBI goes in and they find, hey, there are documents here that may well be and are attorney-client privilege. They don't say, hey, former President Trump, we're going to send these back to you. They say, no, we're going to send them to a filter team within the Department of Justice. Now, eyes have already seen them. The FBI agents, they got them, and DOJ. Now they send it to this other team, who then sends it to another team if they think they are, in fact, attorney-client information, and that's called a taint team. So you have three sets of FBI reviewing this. Do you think this something's not right here? A lot's not. We're going to get more into this when we come back from the break, folks. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. You know, we're able to give you this kind of analysis 5 days a week because of your support to the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to let you know what to do.
Yeah, you go to ACLJ.org. You donate today. Your donation will be matched. We have a group of donors throughout the entire month of August that will match your donation to ACLJ. You donate $50 right now at ACLJ.org. That's like $100 for us because the donors are going to also donate and match that with $50. So again, it takes your action to trigger the match. So it's a really important month for us because we double the impact of each donation. That's ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Questions, comments, no bad questions on this. I think everybody's asking a question. You're helping everybody listen to the broadcast. I said this last week because this gets highly technical. The further you get into it, always talking about privilege. You know, people just throw this stuff out. Privileges and the boxes of, you know, how many boxes of privileged documents. What does that mean? What should it mean? We're taking your calls on that 1-800-684-3110.
You know, an interesting question came in on Facebook from Katz that says, what exactly are privileged documents? And we're throwing around terms here that people may not be familiar with. If your lawyer's communicating with you, so the attorney to the client, on strategy or legal matters related to the case, those documents are called privileged. What does privilege mean? It means they're not, you can't use those documents, other people can't get them, you don't have to discuss them, they can't be used in court against you. Now here, the FBI has acknowledged, in fact, that there are privileged documents. They've made that acknowledgement. But instead of it going to a judge to make the determination as to what's going to happen here, they said, no, we're going to do it internally ourselves. That's the danger in all of this. And that's the problem. You want to take a call?
Yeah, we'll go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jesse in California on line 6. Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Val. Thank you so much for taking the call, and thank you for the work that you do. I kind of have a comment and a question. Everyone's been after Donald Trump since 2016 very heavily on very many issues. I'm just questioning as to what these documents really are, because if they are of such importance, don't you think that the president or the former president of the United States would have known that they would have been coming after him? That's the first question. And the second is, if he was even thinking that way, why wouldn't he have duplicated them, left the originals there, unless the originals have something against other people in the government?
Let me jump in, Michelle. If the documents were classified and the classification hadn't been declassified, and the president has the authority to declassify, copy them doesn't address the issue. So, I don't know what's in the documents. So we don't have the affidavit from the case. What we do have is the warrant. The warrant is very vague. We do know there's attorney-client communications. We don't know if it's attorney-client communications from this case on the documents, if it's on January 6 issues, if it's related to Bob Mueller or Ukraine or impeachment. We have no idea what those are. And the Department of Justice, as far as I know, hasn't given a detailed list to the Trump people as to what was taken or what wasn't there. Now, maybe they had a list before the Trump folks had a list before it went in. I don't know. But it should be handled by a taint team. Not a taint team, a special master. They want to do it internally. So if I was Trump's lawyers, I'd be in court now saying, judge, appoint a special master. Now, maybe it's happened today. It didn't happen Friday. That much I know.
Yeah, I mean, and the question now is, we actually know these documents are there, where they are. They've labeled the boxes. It's five different boxes they put out those boxes are, plus a set of documents. So it's not like they don't know where these are. They've already noted them as attorney-client privilege. So the FBI has already rifled through all this. Regardless of who gets it next, they've got it. If they made copies, copies have been made. It's floating around. We'll go to Michelle in Ohio online too. Hey, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question regarding these privileged documents. President Trump has current lawsuits, like against Hillary Clinton, and I think still against some of the tech companies. And now the DOJ has these privileged documents. So how does that impact these lawsuits?
So you're talking about the non-private lawsuits, so the civil world. It shouldn't technically impact. The question is, how long can Washington hold any of these documents before they start leaking? Not the ones they actually want to keep private, but the ones that maybe there's executive privilege on, maybe there's attorney-client privilege on. But again, you get this into the FBI, you might not get the documents leaking.
Look, Jim Comey,
but the substance of the documents ends up leaking.
Jim Comey released his notes from a conversation he had with the President of the United States to a reporter with the New York Times. That was the head of the FBI. Took his notes on a Form 302 that's supposed to be within the file and kept within confidentiality, and released it. We have it? What are you saying, Will? I'm sorry?
We have the bite of Comey admitting
it. Oh, and he admits he does it. Listen to this.
I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Who was that?
A good friend of mine who's a professor at Columbia Law School.
Now, think about this for a moment. The FBI director goes to a friend of his who's a professor at Columbia Law School and leaks it to a reporter of the New York Times for the purpose of getting a special counsel, which, lo and behold, a special counsel was appointed. Who came up with zero after spending about $55 million. But they created all kind of havoc. Not just the Strzok Page havoc, the FISA court havoc. Put that whole court, by the way, in jeopardy. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. So, you know, there are really serious consequences with all of this. These questions that everybody are asking, by the way, are great. We'll take more of those at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on any of our social media applications, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, ACLJ.org, share it with your friends right now.
Yeah, this is a good question. Becky in Florida on line one. Hey, Becky.
Yes, hi. My question was, does Trump's legal team get to know what was in the affidavit that they took to the judge to get the warrant in the first place?
No, they don't. And usually a affidavit as part of the search warrant is not unsealed until indictments come down. And what you have to worry about here as a criminal defense lawyer is a search warrant means they thought they had probable cause that a crime has been committed. You understand that. I mean, they think there's probable cause that a federal crime has been committed. And they've talked about obstruction of justice, national security issues, and these kind of things, and Presidential Records Act. So that's what they think's at stake here. So they felt probable cause, and a judge found there to be probable cause. So this is the problem with all of this right now. The Trump lawyers need to be going in and getting a special master. That's on the attorney-client information, but you don't get the affidavit.
No, and so again, that would not happen until someone gets indicted, or if anyone gets indicted. I mean, that's the big question too. You know, what's interesting too here is this is the first time I think that we've seen this political process where President Trump has acknowledged that the FBI has lit a fire in the country. And it's their move next, but he, you know, it's even been reported saying that he said, how do I calm this down? Because I think he's seen the outrage level from his supporters is at a fever pitch. And yet they, you know, and again, for good reason, if you're a supporter of President Trump's. But this whole idea, too, that he's trying to stoke something, he's actually doing the opposite right now. But it feels like they are all constantly trying to stoke. They want another January 6th moment. They want something else they can blame Trump supporters
for
en masse.
Kind of the hearings were over and done and didn't really...
Because it was so partisan and boring. So you had really boring people from the DOJ. Now you know, by the way, all of them should have been laughed at. Because if they were still there, they would have known this was going on. So a lot of high and mighty people you never heard of and will never hear of again. Names that will not be in history or in Washington.
And Adam Schiff's already talking about another oversight on this.
Of course, yeah. Take a listen, folks.
I have asked for, along with Chairman Maloney, a damage assessment by the intelligence community and a briefing to Congress.
Will you get one? Have you heard from the Director of National Intelligence?
I have not heard back yet, but I'm confident we will get one, and I'm confident the intelligence community will do a damage assessment that is, I think, fairly routine when there has been the potential risk of disclosure of national security information or classified information.
Look, if this is as serious as Adam Schiff's acting like it is,
Adam Schiff.
Well, that's for sure.
And second, by the way, soon we can get rid of Adam Schiff's power. Let's make sure that happens, by the way. I mean, remember, even when we take back the House in November with the election, don't take back until January. These guys are going to do everything they can. They are on a
tear.
They're in kill mode. It's like, how do we take them out as much as possible? Because right now, betting wise, I'm losing all my power in 3 months. So what can I do to try and destroy Donald Trump between now and then?
Well, I think the fact of the matter is, you said it. I mean, they call it kill shots, and I hate using that term, but that's what it is.
They have been looking for that against Donald Trump for 5 years now.
Yeah, so now they have upped the ante. This is more than a special counsel investigating, the Russia collusion. This is the execution of a search warrant, meaning that they found probable cause that crimes have been committed, and that the evidence of those crimes were at Mar-a-Lago, the president's primary residence in Florida. And they went to a judge who disqualified himself from a civil case involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, but then signed a search warrant. That was just 6 weeks ago. But signed a search warrant in a criminal case involving Donald Trump. I mean, folks, as we go to break, think about that for a minute. How could that possibly be the case? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll give an update on a couple other cases of the ACLJ. We come back from the break. But 1-800-684-3110, share this with your friends.
Yeah. Folks, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. That's at aclj.org. You double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org. We have a matching challenge through the month of August, so we've got a group of donors who say we'll match that donation that comes through. You take the initial action, they match. aclj.org. What else will you find there on the homepage? You're going to find a brand new piece by former Secretary of State, former CIA Director Mike Pompeo about the dangers of the Mar-a-Lago raid. You won't find that piece anywhere else. That's up at aclj.org. Donate today if you can. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secular, final segment. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Paula in New York on line one. Hey, Paula.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for taking my call. So what I'm hearing from the intelligence community really is the issue that he has sensitive or classified or top secret information. And ultimately, my impression is that the status of information is determined ultimately by the president. While in office, I don't know if that can apply after he's left office. And then the procedures for declassifying information is really determined by the president as well through executive order, correct? So,
well, it's a bit more complicated than that. So agencies can determine that information that they have, that they're generating, whether it's going to the president or elsewhere, is classified and what level the classification is. Where you are correct, the president, as under his authority as commander-in-chief, has the authority to declassify any document. Any document. The president could say, I no longer deem this classified, and it's not classified. Now, the former president has made statements, or at least issued statements, saying these documents, when some of his folks have said these documents were declassified. Here's the issue, though. The issue is the Department of Justice thought they had probable cause that a crime had been committed. We now know what those crimes are: obstruction of justice, classified documents, Presidential Records Act. I mean, okay. But they go to a judge who recuses himself on a previous case involving the president and Hillary Clinton, but he's willing to sign a search warrant. Then they execute the search warrant, and they, lo and behold, get attorney-client communications. They tell the former president's team, hey, we've got these attorney-client communications here, and we're not giving them back to you. What we're going to do, and we're not giving them to a special master, we're going to give them to a taint team to review. That's another set of FBI's eyes on it. That may then a filter team that goes to a taint team. So you'll get three sets of FBI's eyes on it. Does anybody believe, CC Hollister, senior counsel for the ACLJ, that these information is not being reviewed by the FBI? This attorney-client information? Does anybody believe that?
No, because it has to have been reviewed. One, when they picked it up, that's the first time, because they had to say, okay, this is something we're going to see and go through it. put it in the box, they took it. So you have one set of eyes on it. And then they probably had to look through it again and say, oh, well, maybe we need to send this to the filter team or the taint team. And so then someone there's looking at it. And then they're going to send it back to another set of eyes probably at that point. So, yes, they have seen it multiple times.
So why not have a special master appointed? Why not, when the Trump people said, let's get a special master to look at this, they didn't do it. Explain that to me, Jordan, because with all the issues that the FBI has been dealing with this president, with this former president while he was president, all of the irregularities, I'm being kind when I say that.
They don't follow the rules when it has to do with him, because like they can't figure out how to follow the rules. They get so ahead of themselves, I think so hyper. This drumbeat for him to be arrested, and you know, usually that would have been, you know, coincided with a lot of this. And then the fact that they get caught off their feet, and what are you actually looking for? You've got all these privileged documents. The truth is, what we all have to be, I think, notice right now is that you have a DOJ led by a guy who's feeling most of the pressure from the left, and he's making decisions based off political pressure, and that's Merrick Garland. Clearly wasn't prepared for this. When he did his press conference, seemed scared to death that he, you know, someone might shout out a question that he wasn't going to answer. The president went into hiding. You know, it's the whole thing. The steps are very obvious about what's happening. Let me take your next phone call, though. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Frank on line two. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. If the judge had recused himself, why hasn't Trump's lawyers already, you know, declared it as invalid?
Well, what they would do is they would file a motion to quash the search warrant and then argue that the documents obtained were the fruit of the poisonous tree. There's a Supreme Court precedent on that. This is textbook law that if you get evidence from an illegal search, it cannot be used in a subsequent proceeding. Why they haven't filed it, I have no idea. Maybe they did and just it hasn't made the news. But that's normally what you would do, is you would try to quash the evidence that was illegally seized. Once you have a court order saying that the search warrant was improperly obtained, right, that's what you have to do first.
And I think they actually could file that, because here this magistrate recused himself, saying that he could not be impartial, or he would be basically partial and biased. And so, you know, in this warrant afterwards, he doesn't recuse himself.
Yeah, but they
should have. I think they have a solid argument here.
Yes, but every day that goes by that they're not doing it doesn't matter. I mean, this is the problem. This should have been filed. When was this warrant executed? Thursday?
The 11th. Monday.
Last Monday. I mean, it's a week. Now, maybe they filed and we just don't know. But my goodness, I would have been in court on this the next day pounding the table.
Yeah. I mean, let's go to Chris in Texas on Live 5. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys, the secular man of the day. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question that's kind of that I had in the back of my head. So all these classified documents that were unclassified by Donald Trump, they say that only 60% of them will really have made it to the public eye. Maybe these are documents that he's declassified that's never made into the public. And now if they have an active investigation into it, that means that if they call Christopher Wray or anybody else in front of it to say, we can't talk about matters that are pending investigation or matters that are under criminal investigation.
That's what they have to say when they've got a matter that's pending in a criminal case. They will say that. That's not an if, Chris. They will. Then you're asking the question about the declassification. And go ahead.
I think if they have to get into that argument, the FBI already lost. The FBI has lost, because there's nothing clear on this except for the fact that the president can declassify. As easy as when you're president, you could walk up to a podium anywhere in the world and just start reading the most highly level secrets of the United States out, and at that moment you've declassified them.
Correct.
So the FBI making that argument in court is pretty tough to say. Like, that's why President Trump said, you know, we assume we made broad declassifications. Rick Riddell was part of some of those as well. I mean, came in to say this. Remember, Rick said this broadcast over and over when they came in and said stuff's overly classified to the point where no one can get the info they need.
Including
so
them.
We're going to do broad declassification, not page by page, but literally everything involving Hillary Clinton and Russia was declassified. That means any document in there that has Hillary Clinton and Russia wasn't classified under the understanding of President Trump. Now, if the FBI starts taking in that stuff to court, it gets that petty. You realize that it's not nuclear codes. And again, who are they protecting here? I have a feeling who they're protecting is Hillary Clinton, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, that group.
And that whole Crossfire Hurricane thing.
Yes.
Which was the beginning of the investigation.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, has been declassified.
Yeah, I think they're doing Washington's bidding. They're trying to go in there.
Explain what that is to people, because that,
well, I think there's probably documents in their position that don't shed good light on the FBI, the DOJ, Hillary Clinton. That's just, it's just speculation. But why on earth? It's like they're treating it very seriously, but not seriously enough to actually execute the warrant the day you get the search, you get the grant to do it. In fact, not the next day, or the next day, but then the next day, because, you know, God forbid they work on the weekend. They're these law enforcement agents. They didn't want to go, I guess, do a raid on Saturday in Palm Beach. They spend the weekend in Palm Beach, and then we'll execute our raid on Monday. But you realize when they talk about it, it's such national security risk, you wouldn't wait 1 minute before you had the vehicles getting ready. But they did, because it's incompetent. It is an infested organization of politicians playing law enforcement officials. I don't think it gets any more dangerous than that, because they got guns.
Mm.
You know, and the ability to arrest you and put you behind bars and take your documents and raid your house. But it is politicians playing law enforcement, and that's very scary. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.